tell you about Windman.
I've swapped complete failure as a Kickstarter.
Star Fox Command is the first game that you get to be Anthony Birch.
The first of many fuck yous. Like a fucking Looney Tunes?
Stipulation was behave yourself and keep your dick in your pants, and you have not followed through on that.
Hello and welcome again. This is a what's that over the horizon? It looks like it might be like some kind of bomb. Or no, wait, actually, it's a podcast. Or as we in the Hawaiian Islands like they call it, noise boys. That's right. I know at least one of our listeners is from Hawaii, and I'm glad that you aren't fucking dead from a nuclear bomb right now.
Okay, so tell me a little about this whole fiasco, because I've been reading up about people who live in Hawaii and all the shit that happened. So from what I've gathered, it was all a false alarm. They were testing it like how you would test a fucking air raid siren every like other Tuesday. Is that true?
What happened? So. What happened is that the man in Hawaii who is in charge of like sending that, he probably has other shit to do, but one of his rules is to be like, hey, if we're about to get fucking nuked, press this button. And so he literally looks like a Phoenix Wright character. And I saw a picture of him, and the password to his computer was sitting in the shot on a sticky note on his monitor. All he did was he accidentally pressed the button, and then it sent an honest to fucking God broadcast, like a safety broadcast, you know, the ones that you get if there's like severe weather in your area.
Yeah. With the fucking like radio, like warning, there's an avalanche incoming downtown whatever McGuffey.
Yeah, it was like one of those, and then everyone's phone got a message, you know, like,
oh,
hey,
God.
Incoming nuclear strike, this is not a drill. So I mean, wackity sackity do, you know, a cartoon actor. Now here's what I want to know about this. So I mean, a lot of shit probably went down in Hawaii that a lot of people are regretting now, but here's what I think. There is someone who is in Hawaii who has a bomb shelter that was like, yes, finally, I prepped for this, I'm good. And he is down in his bunker, and he is going to be there for the next 25 years, Alex. That man is going to come out of that bunker in 2042. Like, all right, guys, what? Oh.
How many let me tell you about did I miss?
We're on Noise Boys 11 now.
We're on Noise Boys 438.
Now, Alex, what I'm saying is that fucking Jeff Kaplan.
Okay. So, from what I've read, a lot of people, like, when you're about to die, when in a situation where you can't escape, like, say, a nuke is coming, a lot of people are like, well, might as well go cause some chaos, I guess. And then they get a message, like, halfway into their fucking, like, just tomfoolery. And, like, sorry, guys, this was a false alarm. He's just like, what?
It is the worst case scenario. The second worst case scenario. I guess the absolute worst one is you get hit by a fucking nuke. But the second, really, okay, it's kind of a binary thing. There's really only option A, you get nuked. Option B, it was a false alarm. There's really no in between.
Because when it calls down, I specifically remember reading a story of some guy who, because the nuke message went out, said, fuck it, and him and his sister fucked because they figured they were going to die anyway. And then the false alarm message went out, and they're just like, what? So now they both felt really, really bad?
That sounds like some kind of shitty fucking anime.
It sounds like a fucking cartoon. I mean, the whole situation sounds like a goddamn cartoon. So I'll
believe
anything.
Here's what I
want to
know.
There.
Here's what I want to know. So, if there was a message on your phone of a nuclear bomb is coming in, what would you do?
All right, you've already asked me this question before, off podcast times, and you already know the answer because it was that guy from the volcano. I would just take out my dick and start jerking it because there's a like lava mummified corpse of a guy on an island because he's dead. It's his corpse of him just holding his dick. because he knew he was gonna die, so fuck it, might as well bust one last nut.
It's like a post I saw somewhere. I don't remember like where guy. It was.
Like, imagine 1,000 years from now, man, these nuclear weapons cause a lot of destruction. They dig up my corpse out of my like room. I mean, look at this guy, and it's just like my skeleton jerking it. But they gotta put me jerking it in a museum. I think it's worth it.
It's like the image that I saw was someone deep underwater and he found like Cthulhu. It's like, yeah. What do you do? Well, I just whip out my dick and start jerking it. I can't escape. I'm going to be the first person to bust a nut on Cthulhu's face. So, honest to God, and this is serious, 100% serious. If I got a message on my phone right now that said nuclear strike imminent, this is not a drill, I would probably keep shitposting on the internet. Like, honestly, I would go to V and be like, just fucking watch. I would go on the internet. I would check, like, Reddit and Tumblr just to see the mayhem and all these people freaking out and doing dumb shit. Because here's something. So, I don't remember where I read this, but there's, I don't know if it was just a realization I had. Because I get a lot of my coolest ideas, I get it, like, 5 a.m. where I'm trying to go to sleep, but I'm not falling asleep just yet. And I think one of them was, if there is a giant, like, meteor or asteroid, I don't know what it's called when it's in space, and I don't know what it's called when it's in the atmosphere, shut up. Like, okay, there's a 17-mile-wide asteroid that's coming to Earth, and it's gonna fuck us up. And we know about this, like, 3 weeks in advance. It just occurred to me, like, if that's happening, people are still going to be shitposting on the internet. Like, all right, V, what game should I play before I fucking die? Like, there's going to be people that are going to post, like obtuse, like, troll comments, like, hey, at least the Jews are going to die, and shit like that. Even though, like, the Earth is going to explode, but humans will keep being shitheads. And there's something kind of comforting about that. So if I got a nuclear strike coming in, I would keep shit posting on the internet, and then probably call my mom back. Hey, mom. So I'm going to be busy shit posting on the internet. Could you not like bother me for a bit?
Okay, so that's another thing I should point out, because obviously your family's going to also talk to each other because they're all afraid they're going to die. I go turn my phone off so I wouldn't have to hear all their text messages and then go back to jerking it.
Oh, fuck.
Love you guys, too.
Oh, shit. So speaking of jerking it, I started playing the Animal Crossing Pocket Camp game a few months ago when it came out.
Yeah, that's not going to have any bad connotations on me whatsoever, but keep going.
And whatever. It's been pretty fun. It's kind of like it's Animal Crossing, but you're located to like one area where you build your little campsite. And it's been, you know, they've been doing fun stuff. They had events where you go and you do bullshit. You get charms that you exchange for cool items. And the game's been really, really generous with its, because you can pay tickets to speed up the crafting of items and shit. But this event, the newest one, they added gardening a few months ago, which is where you can plant flowers, then cross-pollinate, get different colors of flowers and shit like that. And this event was you plant these special flowers, and then a butterfly shows up. You collect enough of these butterflies, we exchange it for prizes. So you can only plant, you can only plant roughly 20 flowers every 3 hours. So you plant all your things, and then half of them are going to die unless you come back in those 3 hours to water them, or one of your friends does. Number one, like, all right, that's kind of annoying. So after that, you have, 20 butterflies show up, and so you try and capture them all, and you only capture 3 out of 20. And you're supposed to get, like, 120 fucking butterflies within a 1 week period to get these cool promotional items.
I guess you could spend some money to catch some more butterflies or make your flowers not die.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Alex. So for the low, low price of 10 leaf tickets, which is only, it's only 5 cents. Come on. What are you, poor? For 5 cents, you can guarantee that Lloyd will catch that butterfly for you. And up until this point, they've been very good with this. You know, I had Google Play money. I think I spent $10 on it just from like a Google survey thing I had that kept adding Google Play credits to my account. So, you know, I bought a bunch of these tickets and I've been coasting off those since the game came out. But at this point, it's like, if I want to do anything with this event, I have to spend money. And it's kind of fucked up because I thought, because Nintendo's been pretty good with their mobile games so far. Although I guess I can't really speak for Fire Emblem Heroes. I've heard that's basically Fate, but with shitty Fire Emblem characters.
See, Fate, it's pretty bad with its money spending. Like, it's 5-star characters locked behind a goddamn 1% rate. Like, I'm not going to defend it.
That is literally... Alex, have you pulled a 5-star?
Yeah, one. And, okay, technically two, because they had an event where it was just like, hey, if you do a roll, you will get one, for sure, guaranteed 5-star servant. But that one was guaranteed. So the only one that I've ever pulled was the one that I wanted, Attila. So lucky, lucky me.
And how many of those would you say you've opened? How many rolls have you done so far?
I don't know, shitload. Definitely should have gotten at least another one, considering some of the luck my friends have had.
Would you say more than 500?
No.
Would you say more than 200?
Remember, I've been playing this game since I was unemployed. No, not really. Probably under 100.
Okay. Because Team Fortress 2, like, I've been playing that game for a very long time. I've opened a lot of crates, and I've pulled, like, two unusuals from it. Or no, I only pulled one unusual. But, like, those are 1% chance. So you're rolling for unusual hats in that fucking game. And
Pretty much. But, to be fair, to Fates, though, I can't even fucking say this. I don't think this is in Team Fortress 2, but in Fate, let's say you do a 10 roll. That's $25. Yes. A 10 roll. So you do a 10
that's
roll.
That's $2.50 for a roll. That's the same price as a TF2 key.
Wow, weird, isn't it? Okay, so you get your $25, you get 10 rolls, and you get one of those 10 things is guaranteed to be a 4-star or higher, either craft distance or character. So you'll always have at least something relatively decent, or you'll get Siegfried or Sethno and want to kill yourself.
That's $25, though.
On a game that looks like Adventure Quest, yeah.
So tell me a little bit more about what this game actually is.
It's a turn-based RPG where you have your three servants out, right? Servants are characters based on either mythological stories or like on actual history. Like, I could play as Julius Caesar and Lancelot and fucking like Medusa and have them fight like skeletons and dragons and shit. And each character has a set of abilities, a noble phantasm, aka like an ultimate super move when they charge it up. And then they have passive abilities, and they have cards. Cards are how they take turns and attack. So say, like, one character will have three Buster cards, one Quick card, one Art card, because they'll have to have five total. And when the three characters will have their things shuffled into a pool, and you take your turns attacking with those cards, and you just beat enemies down. It's actually a lot of fun. I just don't like its greed. But hey, here I am, and I've bought shitloads of rolls. My friends have bought even, like, more. Characters. I had a friend. Okay, so check this out. Here's how easy it is to get suckered into this game, Dad. There's a character named Waver. He's from the anime Fate Zero. He's a fucking powerful, like, wizard dude. I'll simplify it for you. He's a very, very, very powerful servant. He's a 5-star caster servant. He spent over $300 to get this one character. Didn't even get him.
Okay, now here's where I'm confused about these games.
Where do you think it's acceptable to even spend over, like, $60 on a fucking, like, Adventure Quest-looking-ass game? Yeah, I know. But even I spent $100 for when Attila had a raid up, and I actually got her. Do you have any
idea how
lucky...
You spent $100, Alex.
Tad, have you... There's someone who spent over $1,200 to get Gilgamesh, an archer, and didn't get him. The fact that I got my servant in $100 is, like, a miracle.
Oh man, Alex,
people.
You sure convinced me that spending $100 on a phone game sure was worth it.
I'm not saying it's worth it.
Because this other guy, you know, it's really worth it when I put my money into these
slot
machines.
I'm not trying to say it's worth it.
Because if you look at this guy over there, if you look at Depressing Joe over there, he put $5,000 in there and pawned his car, and now he didn't have anything. So actually, I'm the smart one because I was lucky.
First off, I didn't say smart, fuckboy. I'm trying to point out how bad this game is, because look at what I just said. I'm happy that I spent only $100 and got what I wanted. I still spent $100 on this fucking game.
Now, here's what I want to know. So, the five-star servants...
It's easy to get pulled into that mentality, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. So these five-star servants, they're really powerful, right?
Yes, yes.
Is the gameplay itself prohibitively, like when you get to the higher level areas, is it going to be a pain in the ass to do it with, like, because the 4 stars, you get those pretty easily, right?
Yes. You can beat the game with 3 and 4 stars. The game is designed around the idea of it'll be harder because I'll have a few thousand, like, less attack or HP, but it is very doable, and you can go find videos of, like, people powering the fuck out of a servant, powering up a servant the fuck out, like, say, Kahulin, who's a 3-star servant, who's, like, really, 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 really strong and can actually, like, solo a lot of bosses. Like, for reference, a character will have, like, say, 12,000 health, and a boss will have, like, 500,000 or up to 1,000,000 health. And then they get to, like, the really silly, like, Japanese event bosses that have, like, 10 million health, and they just get more and more powerful. But, like, there are videos of people soloing shit with 3- and 4-star servants. But, like, yes, it's possible to beat the game without a 5-star. It's just that 5-stars, either you have the gameplay factor of, say, Merlin and Waver, who are just, like, overpowered as fuck, and people want them, or you just have the waifu factor, like me with Attila, and you just really, really want them. Or, like, my other friend who rolled hundreds of fucking dollars for Tamamo and will not tell me how much he spent on that. All he said is that he spent probably too much.
I mean, fuck, dude, spending that much. I mean, I felt bad for this Christmas event for Team Fortress 2 because I spent, like, $35 in keys.
I felt bad in Elsword when I bought, like, a fucking set for, like, $25. And here I am spending this money here.
Yeah, like, it's...
I didn't learn.
I think we went over it a lot in the loot box episode, but...
It's very easy to get suckered into this mentality. It's a hook.
It's hard to find a good mobile game. You had one on your phone a while ago that was just a punch-out knockoff that was pretty
Super
good.
Super KO Boxing 2. That game was the best shit. And a game that I actually really liked on my mobile device was Robotech. It was this little turn-based slot machine game where you fight with robots. Very simple. Brain-dead game that I would just play on the toilet, but I put a lot of hours on that fucking toilet. But I actually really like the gameplay of Fate, and I'm still playing it now. It's actually really fun. And I'm just saying, like, if for people who want to try it out, look through the characters and pray to God that you don't waifu a 5-star servant. You can waifu a 4-star servant. That's fine, because you'll eventually get them through the guaranteed 4-star thing, right? You know, you'll eventually get that. And a 3-star, free, but just pray you don't like a 5-star servant like Joan of Arc or something, because you're fucked.
So, another game that is actually looking pretty fucking chick, real good shit, Dragon Ball FighterZ. Open beta happened last week. I think it was last week. They had it on the Friday through Sunday, and then they had one extra day that was on, like, Wednesday or something.
Yes, yes, yes.
I came home from work during my lunch break to be like, oh, fuck yeah, let's play some Dragon Ball FighterZ. And it took 24 minutes to download, so I couldn't play it then. Went back to work, left, played it for like 6 hours. I had a lot of fun with Cell. I was disappointed that Ginyu wasn't in. And of course, for those who don't know, for some reason, Dragon Ball FighterZ is a 3v3.
It's Marvel versus Capcom fighting game.
It's Marvel versus Capcom, but actually fun, unlike Marvel versus Capcom. Marvel versus Capcom is a fuckfest.
Nobody likes Marvel
where
versus
things
Capcom.
Just happen. At us, you know, after you get to a certain skill level, you understand, you know, exactly what's going on. But this is like fucking Dragon Ball, so who gives a shit? There's not as much crazy things happening on screen. You don't have like the ugliest fuck character models.
Well,
Marvel vs. Capcom 3 and Infinite have.
Shit does just happen on screen with Dragon Ball. The thing is that you've watched Dragon Ball, so you know what all of those super moves already are. That's why.
That's actually a good point.
Like, when you see, say, everyone do their assist supers, or you see Nappa jump in, giant storm, then Goku come in, do his teleport Kamehameha, and then see Android fucking 16 Hellflash. See, to someone who doesn't know anything about Dragon Ball, a bunch of lights just all flashed at once. But to a fan of DBZ, you know all those moves that happened in the correct order and their names, like me.
That's true. Yeah, so Dragon Ball FighterZ, I played a lot of it. Beerus was a lot of fun. I was able to unga bunga my way through for like a 50-50 match win percentage. I had a really, really fun match. My team was Vegeta, Cell, Beerus. And
yeah, that would be your team.
Yeah, it would be. We were both playing Vegeta. So the first thing we do is you press R2, you jump up, and then you dash at the opponent. We did that to each other 3 times. And then we jumped in the air and did R1, which is a dragon punch. And when you do that, you both connect like all your punches and jump back. So we did 3, just hur pow, hur pow, hur pow. And we both jumped in, did the same punch combo, and it was the coolest shit. Because it was Scrub Fights. Scrub Fights 2018, just fucking mashing buttons. The game is a lot of fun.
See, when I was playing this game, I tried to be a little more of an advanced player. All right, now. Everyone shut the fuck up. The best character in the beta, bar none, and I'm 100% biased, but I'm going to say it anyway, Nappa. If you didn't play Nappa, you're not allowed to be on my friends list on Steam. Nappa was the most fun character in that fucking beta. You know how good I got at Nappa because I've watched all those people stream that game? I couldn't win a match until I swapped into Nappa. like I would play because like Tien wasn't in, Ginyu wasn't in, 16 wasn't in, so like fuck, Fat Boo wasn't even in. Like, who the fuck do I play? I got Nappa. What do I do? So I played Android 18, who like I fucking took forever for me to actually like know how to play her besides just auto comboing as everybody. Like, I actually figured out how to play her, and then Kid Boo. Now, Kid Buu's actually in the beta, fucking brain dead. Like, oh my god, he's so easy to play. Fuck it. But I hate Kid Buu, so I didn't want to play him, and I sure as hell didn't want to enjoy him, but I did. But like,
I'm not allowed to like him because he's too good.
But like I would just scrub shit out of this Kid Buu. Like, I would win all the time as Kid Buu, but it never felt like I was winning. It felt like Kid Buu was winning, you know what I mean? I felt like the character was carrying me. But then Android 18 I just sucked with. But then Nappa flew in, and fucking, oh my god, he does so much goddamn damage, and his fucking arms are huge, so you just punch people. It's so fucking fun. Also, yeah, I'm really Dragon Rush it. Like crazy. Just fucking give him the giant storm, and then boom, they die.
Yeah, I'm liking this game a lot. I wasn't able to play on the second round of open beta, and this was only on PS4, I think. I think PS4 was the only one that had this beta going on. I went over to my brother's house because it was his birthday, and I hung out with him instead of playing. Then I had to work the next day. Oh, God, Jesus. But this game's doing a few things that... So I've played a little bit of fighting games. Alex has played more. And my friend Dan is super, super big in the fighting games. And I'm probably going to do a fighting game episode with him at a later point to go over the finer points of, like...
Yeah, not me, the guy who went to Evo or anything.
Well, you'll see what that episode's about.
I assume you're going to the actual mechanics behind shit as opposed to just saying, yeah, I really like playing Skullgirls. Squiggly had a huge ass.
But I'm really liking the mechanics in here because there's a few things this game does. The biggest barrier to playing fighting games is you have to have enough interest in the game to want to sit your ass down and learn. You have to goddamn put on your thinking caps, sit down in the classroom, and learn how to play the game. And I tried doing that with Street Fighter V, because I was like, oh, Fong is really cool. I like this guy. Oh, Ryu is pretty fun. But I didn't have, there wasn't enough of a draw there. Like, okay, you know, whatever. There's no local friends wanted to play it. No one wanted to play locally, because no one cared. And the world and characters of Street Fighter, well, they're not that bad. It, you know, I'm not that interested in it. So Dragon Ball kind of gets over this kind of easily because, one, it's Dragon Ball. Like, I'm already like, all right, good shit, good shit. Two, it's 3v3, which means there's a lot of characters, and that's pretty cool. I like 3v3 more than 1v1. And then the third one, there's two more. One, and this is total scrub fight shit. If the last time you played a fucking Dragon Ball fighting game was Budokai 3 with your brothers in like the rec room, and you're not going to be good at this game. And so the game does have a mechanic that's in there pretty much exclusively for shitters, and that's the auto combo mechanic, where you just mash square, triangle, or circle, and you do a Dragon Ball Z-styled combo. Like Beerus, you hit him, you slide underneath him, knock him on the ground, pop him up in the air, and then hit him with a giant ball. And it looks cool, and it gives you a little bit of a taste of what actually being good at a fighting game feels like. Because, oh man, that was a cool combo. That only did about 25% of their HP. I wonder if I could deal more. And then it gives you kind of a push to think and look at this and be like, hey, maybe I should actually learn how to play this game. Because Goku's real fucking cool. And hey, that combo felt really fun to do. It's lowering and trying to get rid of all these barriers that get put up for a fighting game. Also, when one of your characters dies, you both get set into a neutral state. So you get on even footing.
Unlike that's Marvel, really cool. Where you just jump back into like the arena.
You go back into the fuck fest.
Yeah. So,
but that game comes out, oh god, it comes out in like 5 days.
Yeah, same day as Monster Hunter, so me and my friends don't know what to play first, because all of us are getting both games.
Yeah, just play Dragon Ball FighterZ.
But Monster Hunter's cool.
Yeah, I know, but which one of them is going to be, I'll tell you right now.
Which one's going to be dead in a week?
Like, here's the thing. The first 2 weeks of a fighting game that no one knows how to play are always really fun to watch, because no one has any idea what the fuck they are doing.
They was gonna do a fucking like auto combo into their super and be like, yeah, I'm so good at this game.
The first 2 weeks of a new fighting game are completely, the game plays 100% different than how it actually plays.
That's completely actually factually correct. Now, speaking of video games, Nintendo.
Hold on, I have a better segue.
Oh, okay.
There's one more thing. And this isn't related to gameplay at all, but it's one really fucking cool thing that Dragon Ball FighterZ does. There's dramatic finishes, which reenact scenes from the anime, and they're so fucking cool.
See, I was going to cover that once we do the actual episode of DBZ FighterZ when it comes out in like a few days.
No.
Oh, okay.
And it's, the dramatic finishes, like the one for Goku is from Battle of Gods. If you're playing as Goku, you'll lose against Beerus on the outer space stage. It reenacts the final bit of Battle of Gods, where Beerus is about to destroy the Earth. Goku goes Super Saiyan God, dispels it, and Beerus like holds his hand, he's like catches him from falling. So it's like, it was an interesting fight. And then boom, dramatic finish.
These actually and those only are... happen if you land a heavy attack on an opponent.
Oh, okay, so you do have to, so you have to put in a special kind of input.
No, it's which just, is just a circle button.
That's a different input than a special, or a punch, or a Kai Blast, Alex.
Yeah.
But, so those are really, really cool cutscenes. And that was part of the reason why I put this other thing on the agenda here, which is video game cutscenes that you never skip, because you think they're really fucking good.
Okay. So, when it comes to video game cutscenes, or cinematics, or whatever, there are three objectively correct answers, all featuring one character, that must never be skipped, or it is punishable by death. The opening scene to Wario Land 4, where he goes and drives out to the temple to get fucking rich. The opening scene to the GameCube game Mario Toadstool Tour, Mario Golf to be exact. And Mario Power Tennis, also for the GameCube. All three of those feature Wario and Waluigi in the two sports games. You are not allowed to skip Wario and Waluigi's wacky adventures in my fucking house, or you goddamn don't get any goddamn pizza.
You don't get any of the shitty Tombstones pepperoni pizza that we made in your mom's fucking oven.
I still get that stuff to this day. Fuck you.
Yeah, so those intros are really, really great. Camelot, I believe...
It's Game-Lot.
Oh, is it?
It's like Game-A-Lot, because it sounds like Camelot, Game-A-Lot.
Are you sure? Because Waluigi just goes,
Wah, Gamelot.
Oh shit, you're right. Just it could said be it. Either. Fuck.
It's anyway. Gamelot because it's a pun.
So these people, I don't know if they snuck it in under Nintendo's nose that like, hey, we have access to these Nintendo characters. Let's just fucking make a goddamn Wario and Waluigi cartoon. And just snuck it in there for the intro movie for both games. They're really good. Watch them on YouTube. My cutscene, it's a really, really short cutscene. I never skip it. And that is Paper Mario's chapter intro. It's only like 5 seconds.
We wouldn't skip that anyway.
Well, okay. Well, I mean, here's the thing. So it goes, dun, 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 and then you hold. And then it plays the Mario theme. And I love it so much. I don't know why. I love it. Also, the music for Paper Mario's title selection theme is godlike.
See, what I love about the Wario Land 4 one, be specific on that one. Because the other two, it's just a fucking cartoon. Of course, those are goddamn good. You want to watch them. But the Wario Land 4 starts up. The fucking garage door opens. Wario gets in his fucking car, drives off in like this stylish camera angle with like anime lighting. It looked pretty good for the Game Boy Advance. He fucking drives out, the music starts kicking in. He fucking, like, a newspaper flies by, hits a cat in the face. It says, new super duper cool pyramid discovered, riches galore. And fucking, it goes back to Wario, who's got his fucking, like, sunglasses on, his arms hanging out of the fucking car. And he's just driving along as this fucking, like, black lady starts singing this funky ass song, but it sounds like shit because it's the Game Boy Advance. But because of that, it makes it kind of sound even cooler. And it's so good. I fucking love Wario Land 4.
No, what was Wario Land 3?
Wario Land 3 was on the Game Boy Color. It's where he's flying around in his plane. Something goes wrong. He crashes into like a forest, goes into this cave, finds a magical music box, gets sucked inside of it, and a big ol' like clown dude's like, hey man, you need to help me repair this musical box world. Collect all this shit for me. And then you go out and you collect all that shit. Spoilers.
Is that the one where, like, Wario can't be killed? He just gets knocked around? Like, he gets stung by a bee and then he swells up like a balloon and you can fly in the air?
Well, he did that one in 4, but yes, that's the idea. 2 and 3, you had no health. You would just be like, if you got hit, you go like, eh, and you like jump back like 10 feet. And the idea was, like, a lot of bosses, you only had one hit because they would hit you off of the arena, then you had to, like, climb back up. And the game was based around the idea that you were invulnerable.
One other cutscene that you can't skip or you'll be punishable by 15 years in the ISO cubes. Any of the Smash Bros. Smash Bros. Melee, in order, because Smash 4's intro is kind of lame. N64 one is the best, or Melee is the best. Melee is the best one, because that one's fucking awesome. Then Smash 64, and then Brawl. You can skip the fourth. You can skip Smash 4's intro, but you're walking a fine line. I won't put you in jail for it, but I can't guarantee that someone else will not. But Smash Bros. Intros are always really cool. Oh, and one other cutscene that I absolutely love is Half-Life. The first Half-Life's introduction cutscene where you're on the tram car. That's just really cool.
Okay, so what is the worst cutscene you've seen in the video game?
Oh, okay. So there's a cutscene in a video game that I absolutely despise, and it is the opening to the final level in Parappa the Rapper. Y'all ready to get down? Yeah, say ho! Because that fucking stage, I played it on PlayStation, and I think I also played it on your PSP. When we played it on the PSP, it was perfectly fine, worked. But for some fucking reason, I tried that stage at least 70 fucking times, and I would get to the very, very last section.
Video games.
Alex, shut the fuck up. You shut the fuck up, because you saw me beat Parappa the Rapper several times. All right, I've beaten this fucking game, but for some reason, and I don't know why, I just didn't give up. But I think it's because of the last one, and I just had to see it through. But it would not work. I would get to the last section, and I would just slowly see my thing go down from cool to good, to bad, right? I think there's only three. And it would just slowly go down because the last, like, six lines of the song just didn't fucking work. And I was, Oh, there's one other cutscene as well. But we'll probably get to that later. I'll bring that up on one of our other topics that we have.
I'm going to bring it up now. Worst cutscene I've seen in a long time. Kingdom Hearts. Goofy's death scene.
I love that cutscene. I don't even play Kingdom Hearts. The only thing I remember about Kingdom Hearts. I did the opening where you went to see the wizard Yen Sid, which is fucking Disney backwards. And also the Winnie the Pooh area. Those are the only things I remember about Kingdom Hearts, except for this cutscene, because I saw it on YouTube.
Okay. So here's a little story time. A little story time for this. I'm sitting here talking with Tad for no reason. He mentions, did you remember that time Goofy fucking died in Kingdom Hearts? And I said, no. Did Goofy die in Kingdom Hearts? And he's like, yeah, dude, look, Goofy's death scene, Kingdom Hearts. Type it in YouTube right now. I'm like, there's no way they fucking kill Goofy. Instead of just looking it up, I immediately ping all of my friends who play Kingdom Hearts. Guys, they wouldn't seriously kill Goofy in Kingdom Hearts, right? Like, there's no way. And he just says, oh, he doesn't know. And then they get the video for me of just Goofy's death scene from Kingdom Hearts, what is it, 2?
I think so.
I watch this cutscene. I'm gonna very quickly recreate it to describe how fucking, I'm gonna use this word, fucking stupid it is. So, cutscene opens up. Mickey's, like, standing in front of him in this fucking black coat with a hood. And he, like, takes off. It's Mickey. He's like, well, you see, you sure got some nice new friends. I can't do Mickey's voice. I'm sorry. I can't even try. But he's like...
No, he says, like, well, you sure got a lot of nice friends, eh, Sora? Just in his happy Mickey voice.
Yeah, it's Mickey. And then, like the ground shakes and, like, a big old rock falls from, like, the fucking cliffside. Goofy pushes, like, Mickey out of the way, gets hit in, like, the nose on the rock, and he's just fucking dead. And then Mickey's like, I'll pay for this. Rips off his fucking, like, coat and, like, this cool shot and pulls out his keyblade. And I'm like, man, this is really fucking gay. This is so gay. People like this shit. This is so gay.
Kingdom Hearts. And I'll agree, Alex. It is the fucking gayest thing I've seen in my entire life.
It actually, like, is just like what people like you would go to DeviantArt to make fun of stupid crossovers. This would be something you'd make fun of. I don't know why people like this one.
Kingdom Hearts is dumb. It is a dumb game.
If you like it, you should feel bad about yourself.
If you unironically like Kingdom Hearts, then okay, I don't really care. Like, it's a video game, but also Goofy has a death scene, so take that into consideration. Just kind of mull that over if you're a Kingdom Hearts fan.
They kill Goofy.
So, okay. We had a few other things that came up in our hour and a half long pre-show discussion where we just share, like, meme images back and forth while we don't record a podcast. And we started talking about the most iconic sound effects. Like, a sound effect that you hear and you're instantly like, yep, no, I recognize that 100%. Didn't even have to think.
Okay. Everyone shut the fuck up. There are two answers to this that are correct. One, instant transmission from Dragon Ball. And then, now this, I use this sound effect to this day. I use it to explain satisfaction in a video game. The thwomp sound effect from Mario 64. Where they fucking slam the ground.
Now, Alex, I think you meant, I think you, when you say the thwomp sound effect, I think you meant
Yeah, fucking when they hit the ground. See, what I love about that sound is when I play a fighting game, I pick a character that feels satisfying. Let's look at Birdie in Street Fighter V. If I land any move as Birdie, I can hear the thwop sound. Like, you hit him with the chain, it slams on the ground. You fucking dolphin dive him. You feel satisfaction by playing this character. You feel the thwop factor. So yeah, that's my most iconic sound effect. What about you?
So, my most iconic sound effect, and I'm going to go with the sound effect that I can hear it in anything because I'm guessing it was a free to use sound effect that they just chose, and I instantly recognize it. And it is the creaky cage sound effect from Rayman 2: The Great Escape. That'll because I can hear it in anything, and I immediately fucking recognize it. And I think of those teensies that are kept in the cage that you break free. I don't know why it stuck out to me so hard, but I will hear it in any. It's in Hollow Knight. They have that fucking sound effect in there. I don't remember where it was, but I know that it's in Hollow Knight. It's in so many fucking games.
I thought you were going to say that free use seagull sound effect that was in the SpongeBob opening, because that's in actually everything. It is. Go play some like old video games in the 2000s or watch some other 2000s cartoons. You'll hear that like seagull squawking out in the distance.
See, that's just as oddly specific as my creaky crate, my creaky cage sound effect from Rayman on the N64.
Here's something that's oddly specific. The bear aggro noise from World of Warcraft. They used that in the old Pokemon anime, in the English like dub of it. Like the Rhydon? Bear
aggro. So,
yeah.
Who was it? Was it Teddy Ursa?
No, it was I just said it was Rhydon.
Oh. You know, well, Rhydon's not a bear.
You know that Pokemon from like Gen 1 that literally nobody cares about? Rhydon?
Rhydon's okay.
He's the evolution of Rhyhorn. I just mentioned it.
That's not true. The Pokemon that I completely forgot existed was the ugly version of what Clamperl evolves into.
Okay, here's a Pokemon that's from Gen 1 that is ugly and no one likes. Magmar.
Alex, what's Magmar's Japanese name?
Boober.
Boober. His name is Boober. Why is his name like Boober?
Nobody likes Magmar. I used Magmortar in like Gen fucking 7, and I don't even like Magmar. Nobody likes Magmar. But anyway. So, now Tad, we had this conversation also before. What is the most mad you've gotten at a video game that didn't deserve it?
Okay, so, it takes a lot for me to get actually genuinely mad at a video game. And I was going to mention this in the cutscenes thing, but I actually forgot about it until just now. So if I lose to a boss, you know, a million times, in Hollow Knight, the DLC that they added on Halloween, you fought Nightmare King Grimm, spoiler alert, I guess. And I fought him like 36 times. I got cucked out of 5 or 6 of them because the game glitched with the nail and kept making me hit those spikes. And he has a pretty long intro. You have to hit him with a dream mail, walk over, walk down, do the charge, and run for like 4 seconds. And then there's like a 10-second cutscene reopens. But that, I didn't even care about. I thought that cutscene after 42 viewings was still pretty fucking cool. But anyway, back to the original point. I just wanted to mention that because I didn't want to forget it.
Oh, okay. But,
so. It takes a lot for me to get mad at a game. I would get mad at League of Legends when I would play like Morgana back in 2013, because if I missed a queue, she was fucking useless. And there was a glitch for a while where if you hit someone at the end of the queue, like and her queue was like she sends out a big old thing, it hits someone, it roots them. If you hit them at the end of it, it wouldn't root them. It was just a glitch. And when that would happen, and this is what made me like decide to uninstall the games. I was so mad. I like took my hands off the keyboard. I went, and I just smashed my hand. Cause I'm like, I'm not going to smash my keyboard or my mouse. Cause I'm not a fucking Mongol, but I'm just going to, I took my hand to smash it against my desk and like broke a clay jar. And I'm like, but I literally thwomped. But the number one thing that does not deserve my anger that, and to this day, makes my blood boil. Super Mario Strikers Charge for the Nintendo Wii. Fuck that fucking stupid fucking game.
I remember playing that with you because we fucking rented it from the family video right outside your goddamn neighborhood. And we were just getting so pissed off at each other. We got pissed off at each other in the regular Strikers game.
So this fucking... Also, because I would play the robots in the GameCube one, and all of the robots could do the special move, not just the captain.
to their bullshit.
I was literally cheating. But Mario Strikers Charge, I don't know what fucking brain dead, illiterate, goddamn idiot thought that making the goalie 100% controlled by the AI that just decides if he's going to block your shots or not. I don't know what fucking... I don't know what fucking asshole thought that up. But I would play this game with my brother, Zach. And he would play Donkey Kong. And Donkey Kong, there were items that you could pick up. And everyone had their... Each team captain had their unique ability. Donkey Kong would, like, jump and smash the ground. Knock everyone away and tilt the stage over. He would do that on my side. And then just get a goal in. And then... I'm getting mad just thinking about it.
You're getting all fucking, like, red and steamy.
So, this fucking stupid game, what you could do is, so, my brother Zach, he would do this because I couldn't stop it. He would have Boot, so you would have your team captain, Donkey Kong. Then you would have four other characters, I think. He would have Hammer Bro, Boo, Toad, and I think another Toad. And every single fucking one of them could just walk up to my goalie, press the C button, hit him with a fucking hammer, and walk the goal in. And I would get so... Ooh, I would get so goddamn... I would turn red as a beet. And because it was... Because I would try and do that. I would do the exact same thing he did, but RNG would just decide, nah, fuck off, Tad. Hit my fucking Yoshi. Yoshi flies into the electric fence, gets shocked, falls on the ground, and I'm getting too mad to speak, Alex. This game actually is bad for my health. It does not deserve for me to be this mad. I also, the game had an online mode, and that... Playing against my brother was bad enough, but I could try and punch my brother in the dick. If I'm playing online and like I'm playing Toad on my team, I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna jump over the goal, and then it lags back. Toad's getting hit by an electric fence, and Petey Piranha is doing his fucking dance moves as he just scored four goddamn goals on me before I could react. And it is the most mad I've ever been in a video game in my life. I took the Wiimotes, I held them up in the air. I almost threw them on the concrete floor, and I was like, no. I just whipped them on the couch and just screamed into the fucking pillow. I was so mad.
At a fucking Mario game.
Absolutely, like textbook definition, furious at a Mario, at a hardcore, edgy Mario fucking soccer game for the Nintendo Wii.
Okay. So I can one-up that. I got really, bullshit. Really mad at a game that deserved it even less. It was... You know that shitty regular DS game that came out in, like, 2005? Fucking Pokemon Dash?
What?
Pokemon Dash, yeah. It was this game where you used the fucking, like, the touch screen to, like, flick the thing to make your Pokemon run faster. By the way, that and Elite Beat Agents will fucking scratch the fuck out of your goddamn screen. But I don't even remember what the fuck it was. I just remember that I lost to something, like, 80 times in a fucking row. It made me so... Again, this game doesn't deserve it at all. But much like Striker's Charge, just... fucking hot-headed, just furious. I said, God fucking damn it, and like I still had it, the DS in my hand, and headbutted the fucking thing and broke the screen and said, ah, son of a bitch. So I sent it to Nintendo to get repaired. But yes, I cracked my DS screen because I got angry at Pokemon and Dash. I have never gotten angry at a video game since. I've been upset at a game, but I've never been angry again.
How old were you when you did that?
Very young. I was real young.
I was a freshman in high school when I was getting that mad at Mario Strikers.
I was still in, like, grade school, so in my defense, I was real young. But,
I could just see you going,
God fucking damn it!
And then smashing it against your head. and then sending it back in. What did you put the letter that you sent to Nintendo? Like,
I dropped it. Like, don't believe that.
Put in the letter, your shitty fucking Bidoof is a fucking bullshit Pokemon.
Remove it from the game. When they sent me a new one, they didn't say, because I left the game in there, they didn't send me back Pokemon Dash, so I just don't have Pokemon Dash anymore.
It's probably a good thing if you broke your DS screen.
It's for the best, but yeah, that game was bad. I don't remember a single thing about that game other than me breaking my DS over it. But I can just tell you, and I'm still embarrassed about it, whatever anger I felt was so not worth it because that game wasn't all that good.
Oh, fuck. All right, well, I'm all tuckered out. After yelling about Mario Strikers Charged, is there anything else we want to talk about to close out this noise, boys? Alex,
don't play Pokemon Dash. Don't see what I only emulate it. That way, you don't have to headbutt your DS.
That way, you can headbutt your BenQ gamer monitor, the ones that cost like $300. Speaking of, I bought Razer headphones because I had I was like $35 off. So I only spent $25, and they are shittier than my $15 Chinese ones that I got from Wish.com.
Oh, funny you mentioned Razer. So I broke my $80 Razer keyboard yesterday.
What were you doing?
I accidentally spilt a teaspoon, very small amount of Sprite, so the keyboard short-circuited, and now I managed to dry it out and repair it. But now, if I ever hit the right arrow key, it types in the letter E.
What?
And yes, by the way, if you're curious, holding shift and hitting right will make it a capital E.
What?
And through video game testing, I played some Heroes of New Earth and played Malekin, who doesn't have an E button because it's a passive. Hitting E will make my camera go right.
Oh, Jesus.
So it actually combined both the E and right arrow key. So I had to go buy a $10 keyboard as a replacement, which is what I'm using now.
See, I'm using a Logitech $10 one I got from Walmart. I have spilled Monster Energy on this thing 3 times, and not a small amount. And it's still working, although I have to press kind of hard on the shift button.
Otherwise it doesn't work. Okay, so Ted, you remember it, because I think you were my friend at the time. Remember the Z-board, that gaming keyboard my mom brought me that had the fucking yes. W? First off, I unironically missed that keyboard, because not only was it really fucking weird looking, but because of the way it had its own little setup on the left-hand side with the W, A, S, and D in space, I could just move my thumb over to the control key on the regular keyboard side for jump control for easy crouch jumping in Team Fortress 2. That keyboard was actually useful to me, but... You know how I broke that?
How?
I spilt Sprite on it. But this time, when I did that, it actually blue-screened my computer.
Holy fuck.
So whatever that Z-board did, whatever keys it hit when the fucking Sprite oozed its way into the circuitry, just blew up my PC. But it's okay, because everything works now. I missed the Z-board.
I do have a I want to close this off with my own keyboard story. So I've only bought 2 keyboards in my life, and I bought the exact same one again, which is my current Logitech one, but the one before that, Logitech version 1.0, I dropped something on it. I think it was tomato soup. And I typed out on my phone on Skype. I'm like, shit, guys, I got a bunch of stuff from my keyboard. What should I do? And they're like, yeah, you know, just unplug it and soak it in the sink. And I'm like, you guys are fucking with me. Ha ha. And they're like, no, it's a good idea. Put it in the sink. And so I'm Googling it around, and I'm like, I'm seeing all these people saying, yeah, you know, soak your keyboards in the sink. And I'm like, am I being gaslighted? What the fuck is happening? This doesn't make any sense. Why would I soak my fucking keyboard in the sink? This doesn't, no, there's no way this would work. And so I put my keyboard in the sink and then plugged it in. So the thought process was non-existent.
Okay, wait.
So I took it. No, okay. So here's what I did. So I had a sink full of water, right? Of cold water. And so I take the keyboard, I put it in there, I just slosh it left and right, make it a huge fucking mess.
Why? Right?
And so I take it out, I like hold it upside down and I shake it, you know, get the water out. And then for some fucking reason, I go over to my computer and plug it in and expect it to work. So I plug it in and I go to like open up Skype and I was just like, hey guys, this is my new fucking, you know, this is my new keyboard, check this out. And then it just fucking it like input a bunch of random shit and then the lights just turned off. And then I realized, oh wait, I think I'm retarded. And so that's when I bought my new keyboard. I still don't believe that soaking it in there and then letting it dry would work, because that's fucking stupid. That's fucking stupid. I swear to God, every single person on the planet is, they're fucking with me. It's like you with Dissidia. Everyone's just fucking with me. I'm being gaslighted. So that'll do it for this episode. Noise Boys 9 of nuclear bombs and...
Of noise and boys.
Of noise and boys. My name's Tad. That other guy over there is Alex. You can find the show on Twitter at Let Me Tell You PD. You can find us on iTunes, Google Play, YouTube. Links to all those will be on the website, which is www.lmtya.com. That's short for Let Me Tell You About. You can also find our Discord in the description. There's also a Patreon, and we have shirts, and they're pretty cool shirts. And if you're part of the Patreon, you get 30% off, which is pretty chunky. And, watch The Benevolent Buckley. Episode 2 is coming up probably after, or probably before this episode goes up, because that's every Monday. Every Monday. Go subscribe to their channel and watch it. It's really funny. I show up in one of the episodes as the illustrious role of Joe's cousin Tad. So check that out. It's really great. And, Alex, fucking despise Super Mario Strikers Charged.
I broke my DS over a Pokemon game.